Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Going to pick up the mail from the mail. Yeah, going to pick up the mail from the mail. First big city I ever seen. I left the island, I was 16. First big city I ever seen. I left the island, I was 16. I came to Nassau on board the mail. Yeah, I came to Nassau on board the mail. Prettiest gal you ever see, my little pearl, my island queen. Prettiest gal you ever see, my little pearl, my island queen. Gonna pick up my mail from the mail. Yeah, gonna pick up my mail from the mail. Her letter said, we going get married. Go to the church in a horse and carriage. Her letter said, we going get married. Go to the church in a horse and
carriage. Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 8th of October, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I want to ask you to forgive the late start. Though, I don't want to say the weather out there is horrible because I'm 48 and I'm used to it now, right? Like, given perspective, I can't say that the weather is horrible, but what I can say is that our ability to drive in this weather is non-existent. And I am a bit stunned by it because I don't understand how people who don't have a problem walking out in flood water, barefoot, have a problem putting the tires of their SUV in 2 inches of standing water. I am stunned by it. I think we've reached a point now, given our weather and climate forecast of rising sea levels, that it's time that we incorporate into our driving schools and driving tests a module that requires you to be able to drive and maneuver your car properly when it's raining, when there's a bit of flood water. What I think, though, is most important to point out that it's not the technical skills that are the issue. It's not that people don't know how to turn the wheel of a car properly. It's not that people don't know where they're supposed to stop. It's that they refuse. This is purely an attitudinal problem. I don't understand how the country that has more dollars than cents end up buying nothing but bad attitude. The texter beat me to it before the show even started. Great show as usual. The road flooded and these people still can't drive. It's not that they can't drive, because you ask anybody, they know how to drive a car. It's that they are unable to drive a car in a system that includes other cars. It took me almost 40 minutes to get to the station today from the east. And I left home at 9:25. And so I wonder if people on the road, when you realize it's 9:25 and you see a whole bunch of cars behind you, do you ever think, oh my gosh, there's a whole bunch of people trying to get to work? The problems we have in this country, it's not about a lack of resources because we got plenty money. It's not about a lack of technical skill. We got a lot of smart people. It's about an unwillingness and an inability to be a part of a system. Everywhere you go, you see it. In the civil service, you have rogue actors from the top, from the very top, straight down to the very bottom. They just refuse to acknowledge and adhere to the rule of law. There's something massively wrong. And I'm begging the economists to take a public stage and to talk to Bahamians about their role in growing our collective economy. See, somebody had a talk with the taxi drivers about their economy. And they have said, by any means necessary, we're going to make this money, even if it means disregarding the laws, disregarding the rules of the road, disregarding other drivers and road users like pedestrians. Same thing for livery and limo drivers. Same thing for corporate and commercial drivers, as if their management have explained to them that in the pursuit of making a profit, you have been authorized to disregard all the rules. I don't know where you're learning how to drive, but I suggest you go back there and you take a refresher course. I lie. I told a bold lie just now. I don't suggest you go back there because that's probably the problem. The problem is probably who taught you how to drive. And I'm going to say this with all of my chest, because on the second driving lesson I had at 17 years old, I knew that the man who was operating that company was a fool. I was only 17. I could have figured that out quickly. I don't think there have been any major changes in that driving school space since then. And so it's not just a matter of asking the Royal Bahamas Police Force, why is it that they have stopped enforcing traffic control? So that's not what they're doing. They're using their ability to enforce traffic controls to find people known to the police, to find suspects and people they want, but they're not conducting traffic management exercises. They don't have a traffic enforcement strategy. Unfortunately, it appears as if the traffic division of the Royal Bahamas Police Force has been turned into a tax collecting exercise as opposed to a traffic enforcement unit. I was also disheartened to see images from what appears to be a very severe accident yesterday involving a police truck. The police truck flipped over. In the initial images, the police truck is the only damaged vehicle in those images. Subsequently, this morning, I saw a video that also showed us what appears to be a second vehicle involved in what may have been a collision. This is the second time I've seen a police truck in an accident, a vehicle in an accident, over the space of 3 weeks. The first one appears as if police officers were doing what everybody does at a particular corner on Pontiana Drive, which is not stop at the stop sign. Police officers are also not following traffic controls. Yesterday, I got caught up in a police emergency exercise. Fortunately, I saw the lights in my rearview mirror, and at one point, I heard the vehicle use its siren or its horn in an attempt to clear the intersection behind me. But once the vehicle cleared the intersection, it proceeded as if it were in an emergency at speeds that indicate that there is an emergency, with lights flashing, but with no siren. Are you all ordering police cars without the siren? You think that we haven't noticed yet that the police officers don't use the siren when they're trying to move through traffic? And I just want to know, do y'all realize that in the daytime, even when people are driving appropriately and checking their rearview mirror regularly, they can't see you. They can't hear you come in because you're not using your siren. You do realize that the siren is to indicate to you that you now need to begin making way for the approaching emergency vehicles. Now, this morning, prison detail coming up East Street, oh, that police officer and the prison bus, they blew their horn as they were coming out of a blind corner. A police officer knew that they had to take extra caution. He paused into the intersection to make sure that all the drivers were aware that the prison bus is coming through. I stop. I also use my hand signal to indicate that we were at a full stop for anybody coming up East Street behind me. Because they know when and why you need to use your horn. Please, let's practice empathy and remember, in a tourism economy where the vast majority of us are working all the time and many of us are working off shifts and graveyard shifts and non-traditional civil service shifts, that any time of the day somebody is working or trying to get to work. And this includes my senior citizens. Yes, you have a right to be on the road until your driver's license is revoked. But no, you cannot force traffic to move at the pace that is comfortable for an 88-year-old or a 72-year-old trying to drive. While we do have to accommodate everybody in public spaces, what we do is we ensure that our parents and our grandparents are roadworthy in the same way that we're supposed to ensure that our vehicles are roadworthy. Again, we have had far too many traffic fatalities across the archipelago, predominantly in New Providence, but far too many across the board. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Aaron.
Morning, sir.
I got to give you A for the traffic, how you always talk about traffic, because the police should really be talking about this. But I like how you always bring it to their attention. Now, I have something I would like to bring to their attention and to help you out with this thing.
Yes, sir.
When you come to a junction where the lights are off, everybody's supposed to stop and proceed with caution. Nobody has the right of way.
Right.
They need to tell these young people. I watched a fella yesterday on Market Street fly through the night that was waiting. I didn't remember somebody was coming, full stop, and that's what they had their turn. And these young people need, and the police should be on the radios and the TVs in the evening and in the morning to tell these people, nobody has the right of way. And even when you come into a yellow light that's flashing, you stop and proceed with caution.
Absolutely. I mean, there is a particular procedure, right? So you got a four-way, when the lights are off at an intersection or they are flashing, on one set of lights, like north-south, it'll be flashing yellow. The other side, it'll be flashing red, right?
Yeah.
So technically, the people with the caution light have, I think, the right of way, but you're still supposed to approach the intersection with caution. Now, when there are no lights, it becomes a four-way stop. And everybody is supposed to approach the intersection and stop for a minimum of 3 seconds. And then I think you're either supposed to go counterclockwise or clockwise, right? In terms of...
You take turns.
Right.
You see who approach the spot where they're ready to go.
Right.
So now, you take turns. All you do is look and give everybody their turn to go.
Right. What happens is... They come to the light, they see everybody stop, so they feel like you giving them the right of way. Well, that's what they tell themselves. They know you're not giving them the right of way. But they tell themselves that, oh, I could just go.
And you know what? I don't know why they don't have this in the high school dispensary. But a lot of the 12th graders are driving now, and they drive without any license. They want to just get behind the wheel and start driving, but don't know anything about the road use.
Yeah.
And this is something they should teach this and basic law in the 12th grade when these students are coming out and don't know anything about civil society, the majority of them. Give them crash courses, but they don't know how to act when they see the police on the scene. They think they should get involved or they get in the police way. And they do all kind of what they carry on. And they don't know, if you didn't do anything and the police think I'm good with me, just go. And once he question you, if you didn't do anything, he'll release you. They just do like the police break up the border with them. That's how I just did. They think the police ain't got nothing to do but bother with them.
We have to.
I like how you always talking about traffic, Eric.
Absolutely.
The police need to do more of that.
Now, before you go, I have to say, well, I got another caller on the line. I want to thank you very much for your contribution, and I'm going to respond to it after the second caller. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate Mounty for just what he said, because the problem that he mentioned is really, 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 it's happening too much right here, and it's really, really, it's out of hand. And as it relates to the four-way junction with the red lights. So I guess, I just learned something from you just now, but as far as the counter, the clockwise, but I thought that once no light is working, the person that you met at the junctions should be given the first opportunity to go where they're going, versus you just coming there pressing the brakes. If you met someone there, you're supposed to give them the right of way.
Right, and that's the basic concept.
But I'm glad you hit on this traffic scenario, because I was walking northbound by Super Value on Blue Road. Sometimes I jog, and so you know the people them they use the sidewalk to turn east to Bahama Avenue, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
To avoid the traffic that's going northbound west by towards National Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people them they use, even the motorcyclists, right? But the problem is with the car. So this guy came in the back of me. He didn't blow or give me any warning. He did not run any signal, but I was completely blindsided because he was in the back of me. And he almost knocked me. But the thing is, what is compounding factor? He had a minister that I'm asking, what could they do to curtail crime? The car didn't even have any license plate on me, on it. So if they had injured me, I would have had no recourse. It's the same thing when I'm cycling. Cars with no license plate. So, I mean, these no-brainer questions. I could go on with a lot of variables as to what they could do and what they should be doing. But I like how you're pushing it, because it seems to me as if, you know, Aaron, you know, obviously the traffic police don't even exist in the night. When I had said to you about a year ago or less that Blue Hill Road after 6 and 7 is actually a dual carriage raceway.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means, yeah, the guy, they can make 100 and nobody seems to care. And this is the inner city
walking community.
You know, from Robinson Road to Samala Butler or whatever, to the government ground. These people, it's a raceway. And they're leaving us to fend for ourselves and get into internal conflicts, Aaron. It's not good. And they have whereby they can pay the police for some outriders, for some high-class fool who come into the city, and then he must be some, you know, the police outride him, but they're not worrying about the citizens who are paying the taxes and paying them. This contempt for the locals, and I actually even never use the word locals, the inhabitants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Citizens, right? It's really gross contempt. Bless up, yeah.
Thank you, 52. Thank you very much. We're going to go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Morning, sir.
You know, as a comet like myself, we understand some of the solutions for these problems, because we've been talking about problems 50 years, well, since the airwaves opened up. You know, we need in the capital only, because we have 697 crime-free islands almost, but in the capital, I think it's time, as I've said before, for a 24-hour-a-day highway patrol. And every officer must have a body cam, and the police vehicle must have cameras recording all around so that we can be sure it's fair play and no craziness. Now, as an incentive, the police will get a percentage of every offense they deal with. I don't know what the percentage is, maybe 50%, 20%. you know, so they would be compensated fairly for this 24-hour day highway patrol. Now, any police could call in if they think it's a good idea or a bad idea. I'm interested. I want to hear you build on it, because it seems that we've lost the streets. And if we can get those back, well, listen, crime goes down. Because if you try to do some craziness in this side of town and you try to move through to the other side of town and there's a 24-hour day highway patrol all over the place, guess what? We got you. But it'll never happen. So we can just sit back, enjoy this nice weather, get a good soup from somewhere, and just pray, because we can need it. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. Boy, caller, call right back. There we go. I hope that's you calling right back. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Kells. How are you on this beautiful rainy day?
I'm good, thank you. I'm a little scared, but I'm good.
I'm scared, ma'am.
No. I'm scared. No, no, mom, ma'am, cousin, auntie, yes. I'm scared. See, I can tell you why. It's not the accident itself that scares me, you know. Although, at this age of 48 and some of the, you know, injuries I've incurred, any type of accident could be life-changing for me, right? But it's not the accident itself that scares me. It's the willingness of people to blatantly lie and pay off the police that scares me. It's the willingness of people to lie and not show up to the police, not show up to court. And I want you to know that the people who are, why, Aaron, so 20 plus years ago, right? A woman hit my car in my neighborhood. She was a friend of a neighbor. So we dealt with it. I told her, look, my friend and I, and it was just her. She seemed a bit timid and anxious, like concerned. So I tell her, I know your partner. That's my neighbor. Call him. We're going to write up a contract. He can witness it because he's a lawyer, right? He came. He witnessed it. We sign up everything. My car, I was not the offending vehicle. My car was supposed to be fixed first, right? Mm-hmm. So when I go to the bodywork mechanic we decided to use to ask him, well, when can I bring my car in? He acted like I was a crackhead.
Oh, Father.
Trying to take advantage of good, decent people. And he don't even know if he's supposed to fix. And we have a whole contract witnessed by this person's partner, you know. Good, reputable people, you know. I had an accident when I was working in my boss's vehicle. And the person hit I hit the person's car, but they were doing something so foolish that all the bystanders was just like, don't watch nothing. Are you obviously in the right? When I look up, the man was paying off the police.
Oh, Father.
When I went to the police station for the fifth time to get the police record, fortunately, an officer recognized my mother's voice that I carry and said, is that Miss Green's daughter coming here again for this report? And when he took me upstairs to look at the report, they had me in the other person's vehicle. These are the things that I am afraid of. Our unwillingness to act with ethics and integrity.
And it's so widespread. And mind, there's only a few of them here, but it makes a bunch of them look bad. Like right now, I'm at a business establishment on Montrose Avenue buying South.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman there have up VAT prices. So I said, sir, because I'm looking at the place don't look like it's one of them that you know, like when you look at certain business, you could tell this person should be paying VAT because they look like they turning over that much.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, there's a certain amount.
Yeah.
I asked the good gentleman, I said, sir, I said, you selling these items at VAT prices. You have two prices, the regular price plus VAT. I said, can I see your VAT, your
certificate,
VAT,
the tin certificate.
Man, the man started carrying on with me. So my co-worker said to me, leave the old man before you cause him to have a heart attack. I said, sir, I'm only doing what I'm told to look for these things when I see VAT prices stick up. The man told me, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
I said, but you're collecting government money. I said, so what are you doing with the extra? The man ran me out of the place.
Mm-hmm. And
a couple of thousand. He got all his prices up by VAT added. But I took a video of the place. There's no VAT receipt. There's business license, but no VAT receipt sticking up anywhere.
And I'm
the bad one.
Is your duty as a consumer, the burden is on you to protect yourself.
So I'm hoping that the person from Inland Revenue is listening. This is so. on Montrose Avenue, a yellow building. You understand me? And they selling, they have a number place connected to them.
And here's what we want them to do. We want them to go there and to ensure that the owner of the business understands his legal and financial responsibilities as a business owner. We ain't going to hook nobody up. We just
because he have his business license, so I know he's licensed. I see the license. I took a video of it. But I look around. I requested to see the VAT certificate because I usually see a VAT certificate on the side of the business license in most places.
Yes,
he don't have that. And the man, he gets upset at me, and he's like really old. So I say, you know what, I don't want to cause him to get sick. I say, sir, I say, I'm going to leave. I walk out.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't take it or leave it. I won't tell him what to do with his money. That's his money. The price is the price. I said, but you collecting VAT. Why are you collecting VAT if you're not giving the government its money?
Yes,
then
ma'am.
That's stealing from the government.
Thank you very much. We hope that the Department of Inland Revenue sends a team to assist the business owner in ensuring that he is compliant with all the rules and regulations. Thank you, caller. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next call, producer. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Okay, I'm sorry we missed you, caller. I've got a text here that says that's actually an offense to not display your VAT certificate. Let's go to the phone line again, producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, yourself. And you mentioned something so powerful just now. I'm an incident. I was driving. I'm a law enforcement officer.
Yes, sir.
A police officer hit me. Now, when I came with the car, I'm an officer too.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came with the car, he said, oh, you're using the wrong. I said, yeah, okay, I have insurance. I didn't see you. This police officer's car wasn't licensed for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
For 4 years. And I said, so what you could do? He said, very well. So I said, okay, well, let me call the insurance company. And he was so scared. I'm Lauren. I said, how could you be a police officer and you're scared to imagine the people who are not law enforcement officers?
Right. And how do you not understand their panic when they see you? Because you behave the same way, right? Like, and then you treat them with a degree of empathy and you say, look here, boss man, I understand, right? Don't stress out. Don't freak out. Don't have no attitude. You in the wrong, but it's a simple fix.
It's simple.
You in the wrong, but it's a simple fix.
You're a law enforcement officer. It's sad. That's what you should be scared of. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Witnessed a very large vehicle operating recklessly in the Rosetta and Mackey Street at that intersection there. It had a number on the back of it that said, call if you see this vehicle being driven recklessly. Like it's a rental, party rental kind of thing. And so I called the number. I wasn't driving. I was a passenger. And I called the number. And I kid you not, the gentleman that answered the phone was very polite. I explained to him what happened. He said, describe. He said, you could still see the vehicle. I said, yeah. Gave him the plate number. He said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. That's my brother. And he's an officer. Please don't approach him. He doesn't have a good attitude. Thank you for calling. And again, I apologize. That's what we be dealing with sometimes. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Wonderful, this Mrs. J. I too, Aaron Green, I'm afraid. I too, I'm afraid, just like you. Because how did we get here, Miss Green? How we get here? I had to tell what my last boy, mommy, the other night, take those keys from that boy. We gave him to get a Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
But he gone gallivanting in the Jeep all over the place with no license and no insurance. So I had to tell her, take those keys from him until we get that Jeep sorted out with him.
Yes.
I ask him, boy, you know how dangerous that is? Suppose you hit someone. Suppose you killed somebody. Suppose something happened.
Yes, you take a life and you know you're not properly licensed to be on the road. And if you're not licensed to be on the road, then whatever insurance was attached to the vehicle is no longer valid.
But Ms. Green, how did we get it? Ms. Green, you know how many vehicles... What is the government doing? You know how many vehicles on the road with no license plate? No, how do we get there?
And what's the... I saw a notice I saw the notice on Saturday on my social media feed for people with plates, but DA. So I think it's all the DA plates can be picked up. But I don't think the state understands their responsibility to ensure that the people get their plates. I also don't think the state understands the culture that they're operating with. They operating with people who saying, if they didn't have the plate when I come, they must even figure out how I can get the plate. That's the attitude they know they're dealing with. So they have to take the extra effort to ensure that people know the plates are ready and people get the plates. And then you put a deadline on it. If you're supposed to have a DA plate and you haven't picked up that plate by a certain date, you're going to get ticketed.
Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
If we got a problem making plates here, we got neighboring countries, we call them family countries, where we can outsource temporary the making these plates. That is very dangerous. Like I say, if you hit someone or you mass them, like 52 of them saying, if you hit someone, you mass someone or something happened, how are we supposed to track you down, Ms. Green? You know what that is an indication of?
Listen,
that's an indication of a failed state, you know.
Listen, I got to go. But over 10 years ago, somebody, like they is it like a little hit and run? Like they just dinged the car, you know. And I got the plate and I go to the police and I say, hey, you know, it's not worth a whole case, but please give them a warning. Let them know that they were observed. Something. The police officer told me, miss, but what you talking about? You know, two people could have the same plate. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of crooked people. I'm afraid of ignorant, incompetent, crooked people that say any manner of foolishness straight in your face. And then when you challenge them with the common sense that your parents, or worse, the state, spent money for you to develop, when you challenge them with common sense, they want to fight you. They want to lock you up. They want to strike you down and destroy you. Because you say something as simple as, but the car in front of you stopped at the stop sign. Not you. You were stopped behind them. You still have to stop at your stop sign. And they want to fight you. All right, let's go to the phone line and then we're going to read some text. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, sir. Ma'am.
Hi, Aaron.
How you doing?
Totally with 52 earlier.
Yes, sir.
As relate to these, when these main road have street lights not working, you know?
Yes, sir.
For example, the other day I'm on Market Street and Wolf Road, and the light is flashing. And everyone who's on Wolf Road going east and west believes they have the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be constant reminder that who reaches the stop light first, you should proceed, let them go. That's how it should be. You know, not everybody, not because you're on Wolf Road, you think you have the right of way. So the police should be making constant reminder about protocol on the stoplight when the light is not working.
Absolutely.
You know, because that's a problem.
Absolutely.
So I totally agree.
Thank you. And you know what we could do right now? We've identified a number of influencers, right? A number of people doing great work, social media, entertainment-wise. Why you just don't hire the set that you hired for the Golden Jubilee? Let's do that. So we could start putting out PSAs and after-school specials. Like, y'all forget, we grew up watching American television, watching America socialize its people. Leave It to Beaver was teaching people after what a post-industrial America how to live in suburbs. How husbands supposed to behave when they come home. How wives supposed to treat their husbands, their neighbors. You have to teach people these things. Why we think we have no... I mean, I know why. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to go through all the texts, and then I can tell you why. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
Since the day when I first met you...
Wait, why you look so mashed up? Like, clothes at the washer?
No, wait. Just a hard day. Wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss give us, boy, one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rohnert. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rohnert today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
To get to anywhere, maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better.
Do so. Starting from zero, got nothing to just tell your woman when I say this, I mean this from my heart. I love you. The most appropriate song to play. And I'm going to tell you all why. Because our driving behavior is linked to how our driving culture developed. And if you are a generation of Tracy Chapman fast car, right, then being in a car means something. It's a sense of empowerment. And that's right at the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is that people feel disempowered in their ordinary lives, and then when they get on the road behind a wheel, they are empowered again in many ways, but not in the appropriate ways for using the roadway. Because, see, we have this American thing in our heads about the car and freedom. But we live in a small island developing state, primarily on an island 21/7. The culture has to be different. I got a call and we got some text, so I can get back to that thought. Good morning, caller.
Excellent show. Good morning to you.
Morning, sir. Thank you.
Listen, let me ask you two questions. Is it an offense, or is it a crime, or is it a criminal act for me to pay a friend of mine who works to road traffic to expedite the processing of my driver's license?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, is it an offense, because I know it is in the United States an offense, for me to give you $100 to vote for me?
Yes.
But why are we breaking the law from the very top of our society and wondering why it's broken at the bottom?
Make the connection for me. How are we breaking the
law? Politicians pay $100 for votes. Ah. Not breaking the law.
Not all, and we haven't proven that yet. We got to be very careful, but I do think it's fair to say that they perpetuate a culture of patronage that causes people to maintain proximity to the party in the hopes of getting something. But we don't know if the getting something has actually happened. Not me personally.
I give you a T-shirt that says something on it. You are representing this party that you are part of, and a couple of dollars in a T-shirt. That's not an incentive for you to vote for me, then.
I mean, that is an incentive, but that is, you shouldn't do that. That should be against the law, eh?
It is against the law, but we practice breaking the law every 5 years.
Not everybody, and I think what is the misnomer is how widespread or prevalent it is. I think that's what the misnomer is. Not that it doesn't happen, but I don't think it's as widespread and prevalent as we think. Now, I will balance that with the constituency I have lived in all of my life, the people them don't even want to come to our house.
All right, I have a final one for you.
Yes, sir.
When I swear my allegiance and take an oath to the king or queen or whoever, does that nullify my marital vows?
That's an interesting...
if it comes down to my wife and the king, I got to worship the king.
Listen, no.
Because I go and swear my allegiance.
No, don't. The king is my cousin, and I tell him, you, if it come down to the king and your wife, worship your wife, buddy.
Take care.
I'll deal with my cousin because you'll have to deal with your wife.
Take care.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. All right, let's get into some texts. Our texter reminded me to remind our listening audience, storms are traveling. Yes, hurricane. We didn't talk about Hurricane Milton this morning, but storms are traveling, and we should all be responsible and ensure that our home insurance is up to date. Another text say, good morning, Ms. Green. We are beating a dead horse concerning the road traffic department condition. I'd rather beat a dead horse than beat the road that a dead child is lying on. I say that with all my heart because I held a man in my lap after he got knocked down by a hit-and-run driver. I'd rather beat this issue than beat the road with another dead child on it. We are having the problem with plates and condition around there because persons who were responsible for making the plate available for the department were all transferred out, possibly for political reasons, and replaced by people that have no clue as to what need to be done. In the same way, I'm less concerned about which party is going to win the election and more concerned about what is lost in the transition from administration to administration. Another texter says the now controller is clueless about what is going on in that department. Another text says turning left on red doesn't mean turning into oncoming traffic. Turning left on red doesn't mean turning left on red anywhere other than University Drive and University Commons. The only place that you are allowed by law to turn left on red is where a sign is erected. And the only place a sign was erected is University Drive and University Commons. Don't matter what you see the judge's vehicle with the black plate do, even though I saw them run like 3 stop signs back to back with no emergency light on or nothing. They was just running stop signs. It doesn't matter what the judge's vehicle with the white and blue plates does. It doesn't matter what the prime minister's vehicle does when it don't have its siren on. It's supposed to be following the law. It doesn't matter what the taxi does, the governor general's vehicle does. If the siren isn't on, they're supposed to be following the law. It doesn't matter what the police vehicle does. If the sirens aren't on, they're supposed to be following the law. Eh? Red plates, it doesn't matter. The only place you could turn left on red is at University Drive and University Commons. And you are still expected to come to a complete stop for a minimum of 3 seconds. Ensure that the way is clear before you enter the intersection. Texas said, good show. Do dead people still vote? I just want to know about the $100 thing. Another texter said, I heard a young man the other day say riding dirty is the way to go. Like a caller said, how did we get to this? Good morning, Miss Green. About the police trucks, in my view, they're not good for speed due to the high center of gravity. Only my opinion. I thought the trucks were for the family islands, and I thought the trucks were for the purpose of confiscating ATVs, smaller types of motor vehicles on the road, right? So that they were able to detain, seize, and transport with ease. That's what I thought. And the family islands, that's what I thought the trucks were for. Another text, good morning. Your last call, I want to know why he asked the mother to take the keys from the son. Why did he not take the keys as the father figure in the house? I just presumed that they didn't necessarily live together, but they had a good enough co-parenting relationship, right? Where when they talk, it sounds like they live together. It's also possible that the last caller was disabled, right? And unable to physically take the keys from the son. But I think it's the former rather than the latter. Another text, good morning, Aaron. You wouldn't believe it, all this weather. You wouldn't believe people are still out here blowing stop signs, not using their signals, and have hazard lights on when they're not in distress. It's just confusing, man. I tell you what's confusing. Being behind a line of traffic and you just chilling because it's wet, you don't want, you know, rush anybody. But then you realize that in the two vehicles in front of you, that there's actually like a 10-car gap between them and the vehicle in front of them. Another text. Morning, your caller is right to report him, and he's apparently not too old to thief, so don't worry about his heart. We still go worry a little bit about his heart, and we're going to ask the Department of Inland Revenue to assist the business owner in becoming compliant as opposed to shutting down his business for blatantly ignoring the law, because he's old and he may be desperate to maintain a degree of autonomy, at least economic autonomy. Here's a text. What makes it worse is that these big pea-brain teenagers are under the influence of weed, indeed, and rum, bears, etc. The fact that Graham said his idea over and over and it hasn't been implemented shows that the government is not serious and don't care. Aaron, I had that same experience with a Haitian guy who had a Haitian family on the force. Thank you, Texter. Texter, you are not wrong. We got a lot of young people on the road that don't have sufficient spatial awareness, critical thinking skills, or empathy to navigate the road in the way that they want to safely. But it ain't just the young people. It is not just the young people. You got some people in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, their 60s out here practicing, you know, the young people say, foolishness on the road. I'm most disappointed in these senior mandem I see on the road cutting people off, running out of stop signs and running red lights. And here's the best part. They doing 7 miles an hour approaching the green light. When the light turn orange, they still slow. When the light turn red, they speed up and run the red light. And then they drop their speed back down to 7 miles an hour. Yeah? These are old people doing this. These are people you expect to have sense. Some big man who I would call uncle out here on these roads teaching young people pure foolishness. Now, Graham, you said something. I got to get to that. Here's another text. Good morning, Aaron. I am not disenfranchised by the elderly on the streets. It is the young people. Look at the statistics. It's the young people who are a menace. See, there's causing an accident, and then there's preventing an accident. Yeah? There's causing an accident, and there is preventing an accident. And like I say, we're not denigrating old people because we understand them wanting to maintain a degree of autonomy in a system that they did not ensure they could maintain a degree of autonomy in, you know. They were in charge of the world that has resulted in them being rendered useless by their family members in society. But we're not relegating them to that. What we're saying is, look at all the ways that we could provide solutions for them and support other people. Why is it that people haven't decided, while we run in these illegal rideshare businesses, and I said it, illegal rideshare businesses, why hasn't somebody organized a transportation system for the elderly? Also, Graham, when you mentioned that you and I are both comets, you reminded me that I was asked to speak about what has become of the QC roundabout. I don't know if we have enough time, but maybe 2 minutes is just the right amount of time. Because I'm certain that I made the point a couple of years ago that changing the intersection, the public infrastructure in front of the school alone will not solve the problem. And it turns out as if QC parents and ordinary drivers in that area refuse to use the roundabout in the way it's intended to alleviate the impact of school pickup on ordinary traffic. Tech says it's raining and I don't want my SUV get splashed with water. They don't want the tires to get wet. They don't want the tires to drown. I just bought this car. Well, let me tell you all something. Sea levels are rising. And even if sea levels are rising, ain't nobody cleaning the drains. Even if it's not climate change, nobody's cleaning the drains. It's going to get wetter and wetter and wetter. Something has to change. Tomorrow, we're going to pick up some stories from The papers, AG plea deals sometimes necessary to ensure justice. Quote, we understand that some recent sentencing has raised concerns, especially when plea deals are involved, said Pinder in the Senate. He added, I want to reassure the public that when we pursue a plea deal, it's not about being lenient on the accused. We didn't think it was about being lenient on the accused, you know. We know that it's to make your job easier. We know that you haven't figured out how to reorganize the allocation of resources within your ministries that you're responsible for and the government as a whole, right, to provide better, more efficient and effective systems for the people. But we know it's not to be more lenient on the accused. We know it's to make your job easier. And I will argue conservatively and in good faith that it's not malfeasance, it's incompetence. Because anytime you meet a system that you cannot operate properly, you change it for your benefit, disregarding the intent of the system. Not only do we need new driving schools, we need new politician schools too. Anyway, you've been on the clock with Erin Green. I didn't get to talk about the Eddie Minnis concert today. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. You guys, thanks for tuning in to On the Clock with Erin Green. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.